WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked and loaded on another Current Sports episode here on this Wednesday afternoon. It is December 2nd. I am your host, Al Martin. We've got a great show in store for you all. Actually, throughout this entire hour, you could be that lucky individual. That's right, to win two tickets to tonight's Michigan State versus Louisville game at the Breslin Center. Again, we're not going to just hand them over. You got to earn them. We are going to give you a trivia question, and the first caller to call in with the right answer will win those tickets. Okay, again, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Concerning what will be discussed on today's show, we'll be diving into a previously decommitted individual who recommitted to the Michigan State football team. We'll discuss that at the top of the hour. We'll also talk about the new athletic director search at the University of Michigan. Also, we'll get you ready for tonight's MSU men's basketball game, again against Louisville, the Big Ten ACC Challenge. You get to hear from Tom Izzo himself during his press conference this week. We'll also bring you a pretty cool story concerning the MSU roller hockey team, as one of our current sports beat reporters did an outstanding job of profiling one individual who was actually all the way from Japan. Laurel Young will be joining me on the air to talk about that, and we'll also wrap things up with a pretty cool Barbershop Wednesday centered around When Fandom Goes Too Far, the Reggie Jackson story, which you'll get to hear in just a sec. Don't go anywhere, folks. As we proceed, we have to start with our current sports quick hit headliners for this Wednesday, December 2nd. All right, we start with the MSU football team. Four Spartans earn all Big Ten offense awards. Connor Cook, Aaron Burbridge, Jack Conklin, and Jack Allen all earned Big Ten offensive honors last night. Cook was voted the Greasy Breeze quarterback of the year, while Burbridge picked up the Ritter Howard receiver of the year. Now, Burbridge and Cook, along with center Jack Allen and offensive tackle Jack Conklin, earned first team all Big Ten honors. Salute to those four Spartans who have had one fantastic year. And again, it continues this weekend against Iowa in the Big Ten championship game. Naquan Jones, a four-star defensive tackle from Illinois, committed to the Spartans in June before reopening his recruiting on November 10th. Now, Jones said he decommitted because he wanted to take his time choosing a school and visiting others. Now, Jones announced last night on the drive with Jack Ebling that he would be coming to Michigan State after all. And he said after talking with the MSU coaches, he knew that MSU was where he wanted to be. We'll discuss that more in just a sec. The Michigan Wolverines men's basketball team, they beat NC State on the road last night, 66-59, to improve to 5-2. Derek Walton Jr., though, he left the game early with a sprained ankle, but the Wolverines got big points from sophomore transfer Duncan Robinson, who scored 17 and knocked down 5 three-pointers. Caris LeVert also added 18 points in the win. The Big Ten ACC Challenge is now tied at 4-4 after 2 days of action. Michigan State will host number 24 Louisville tonight as a part of the Big Ten ACC Challenge. The Spartans won their last meeting with the Cardinals last March in of course, in order to advance to the Final Four. Now, Louisville is only returning two starters from their team last March. MSU is Louisville's first true test, while Michigan State is coming off three wins in the Wooden Legacy and an early win this year against Kansas. Tip-off is set for 7:15 p.m. tonight on ESPN, and you can win tickets by listening right here on the show. We'll tell you how you can win those tickets in just a sec. The University of Michigan is expecting to ramp up its search for a permanent athletic director this week. Multiple people with knowledge of the situation told the press. The permanent athletic director is not expected to be interim athletic director Jim Hackett. Now, the people requested anonymity because they are not authorized to speak publicly about the matter. U of M spokesman Rick Fitzgerald and associate athletic director Kurt Savada did not return a request for comment. The Detroit Red Wings, they squeaked out a win last night against the Buffalo Sabres 5-4 in a shootout after giving up another third period lead. The Wings' Justin Abulcater, he tied the game at 4 late in the period. Brad Richards was the lone goal scorer in the shootout. The Detroit Pistons, they play host to the Phoenix Suns tonight in a matchup of teams hovering around the 500 mark. Detroit sits at 9-9. They hope to continue their four-game homestand with a second dub in a row, while Phoenix, who is 8-10, has lost 5 of their last 6. Pistons guard Reggie Jackson, he was fined $25,000 by the league for, quote, directing inappropriate language at a fan, end quote, during a game against OKC. Now, Jackson said after the game in a cell phone video 2 days after the incident that fans feel protected in the stands and, quote, some fans need to be tossed. Former Detroit Tigers pitcher David Price, he reached an agreement yesterday with the Boston Red Sox on a 7-year, $217 million deal. That's a lot of moolah. The left-hander becomes the highest-paid pitcher in MLB history with an average annual value of $31 million. Now, Red Sox president and former Tigers general manager Dave Dombrowski has now traded away, and signed Price in the last 16 months. Wow. And, of course, last night, the latest rankings for the college football playoff, the 12-member committee, they sat down and released those latest rankings, and it sits like this when it concerns the top 5 teams. Number 1, Clemson. Number 2, Alabama. Number 3, Oklahoma. Number 4, Iowa. And number 5, Michigan State. Really, pitting the Big Ten championship game as the de facto spot to see who really comes out as the top dog in that game and who etches a spot between Iowa and Michigan State in the college football playoff. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's start the show.
And a 17-time NBA All-Star, the third highest scorer in NBA history, the 2008 MVP, two-time NBA Finals MVP, five-time NBA champion, a 6'6 guard from Lower Merion High School, where he won the title in 1996, number 24, Kobe.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. I am your host here on this Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, Al Martin. And what you just heard was, of course, the PA announcement of Kobe Bean Bryant during last night's, well, I should say right before last night's Los Angeles Lakers versus Philadelphia 76ers basketball game. It marked, actually, Kobe Bryant's last game in his hometown of Philly. And, you know, I couldn't help because, you know, when I watched that game last night, I was sitting there, of course, flipping the channel between that game and, of course, the Cleveland Cavaliers and Washington Wizards game, in which Cleveland took an L. LeBron James and the Cavaliers, a lot of holes in that armor right now. But besides the point, going back to Kobe, I couldn't help but think to myself, when watching that announcement. And as you just heard, you even heard fans screaming, Kobe, Kobe, Kobe from the stands. And it wasn't too long ago where, you know, those same fans who were screaming Kobe's name last night were chanting boos. If you remember that whole stint with Kobe Bryant in Colorado in which he was accused of, you know, raping a young woman, a lot of people kind of forget that stint. You know, it's so remarkable because Kobe Bryant's career has been one with a lot of highs and a lot of lows, to be frank with you. And I'll never forget, during that stint, I mean, Kobe Bryant was like public enemy number one. And I remember when he went to Philly that following year when that case was going on. And I remember he returned there and he was just getting completely booed by everyone in the stands in his own hometown. And Kobe talked about at the time how it hurt him, you know, to be from Philly and to hear the hometown crowd booing him. Booing him. I mean, again, he's from Philly. He went to Lower Merion High School, drafted straight from high school to the NBA, and went on to have one illustrious career. But my, oh my, how things have now changed in 2015. Kobe Bryant, again, he shut up a lot of the naysayers and a lot of the criticizers out there during that time period by just going out there and playing absolutely spectacular basketball. You can make an argument that during that time, and I forget the year that it was, but during that time when Kobe was going through that trial, that following season, you can make an argument that that was his most productive season as an athlete. Point blank period. His numbers were through the charts. He was on a tear. And he shut up a lot of people, and he made a lot of people forget about that case due to just going out there and being the best basketball player in the game at the time. But last night was kind of a cool moment because you saw everyone come out for that game. I believe Dr. J was even in the house to witness it. And Philadelphia, of course, gosh, how bad are the Philadelphia 76ers, huh? Again, you know, they had the longest losing streak in the NBA, and they finally were able to get in the win column after beating the Los Angeles Lakers last night, which really speaks volumes as to where these two teams are right now, talent-wise, compared to the rest of the league. They're not up there, folks. They're nowhere near the top. But L.A., again, they sit at 2-15. Philadelphia with the win last night, they are now 1-18. Two teams that, yeah, you can pretty much take this to Vegas, that neither one of these teams are not going to make the playoffs. But, you know, besides the fact, this is a game, you know, on December 1st, 2015, that won't be looked at as the game that Philadelphia snacked their losing streak, but it will be the game looked at as, of course, Kobe Bryant's last time playing in Philadelphia. You got a standing ovation, you know, and when the buzzer sounded at the end of the game, everyone stood up, and he just waved around and kind of had a pretty cool curtain call moment. But salute to Kobe Bryant. Again, Kobe Bryant, he announced his retirement from the game of basketball. He announced that this would be his final season on Sunday via the Players Tribune. And, I was looking at something online that read that since Kobe has made this announcement, the games in which the Lakers are playing in on the road have increased upwards of up to 15%, folks. That's crazy. Crazy. The prices, I should say. The prices of tickets for wherever Kobe Bryant will be playing, you know, the rest of the season, wherever the Lakers travel to from here on out, those ticket prices have increased 15%, folks. And I'm pretty sure as the year goes on, I may even try and get me a ticket to see Kobe Bryant's last game at the Palace of Auburn Hills, whenever that may be. Because, again, you know, I never got a chance to see Kobe Bryant in person. And Kobe, in my opinion, is the closest thing to Michael Jordan, my favorite athlete of all time. And even though I wasn't the biggest Kobe Bryant fan, I did recognize how great he was as his career went on. And again, you know, looking at Kobe Bryant and the way he plays, I mean, he played just like Mike, you know, or close to it, very close to it. And it would be certainly a treat to see him in person, finally, again, in his last season, you know, finally, you know, bid everyone adieu in the game of basketball. So Just had to start off the show by saluting Kobe Bryant in his last game in his hometown of Philadelphia, because it was a very cool moment last night in Philly. Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And folks, on today's show, of course, with the Michigan State men's basketball team coming off the Wooden Legacy Championship, which they won out in California over the weekend. Three straight wins, and now they are partaking in, of course, the Big Ten and ACC challenges I highlighted in our current sports quick hit headliners. You know what? We have a pair of tickets that we do want to give away on today's show. And again, you know, you have to earn them. You got to earn them. We don't make it easy here on the show. And I remember, I believe it was last week when we gave away a pair of MSU men's basketball tickets. And we will be doing so for every MSU men's and women's home basketball games, okay? So if you want to win those tickets, again, the day of those games, we will be giving away the tickets just like today throughout the entire season. And again, we'll be doing it through trivia. Now, of course, with the Michigan State football team taking on Iowa in the Big Ten championship game this weekend, Saturday, an 8:17 p.m. kickoff at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's the big game everyone is talking about. And, of course, looking at the rankings from the latest rankings from the College Football Playoff Committee last night, with Iowa sitting at number 4, Michigan State sitting at number 5. Yeah, you can pretty much guess that the winner of that game will be punching a ticket to the College Football Playoff. Point blank, period. It is a de facto College Football Playoff game, okay? So, in honor of that game, again, if you want to win tickets to tonight's MSU men's basketball game, we decided to center the trivia questions around, you know, Michigan State and Iowa. And here's the question. Again, get those phones ready. Phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Your question is, what is Mark D'Antonio's career record against Kirk Ferentz as the MSU head football coach? Again, what is Mark D'Antonio's career record against Kirk Ferentz as the MSU head football coach? Call in right now. The first person to call in and get that question right live here on our airwaves will win those tickets to see the MSU men's basketball team take on Louisville tonight. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527, and our phone lines are going off the chain right now. I'm looking behind the glass, and Isaac has a caller as we speak, he'll punch through. Do we have a caller, Isaac?
We do. Chris from East Lansing is on the line.
Okay, we have Chris from East Lansing. If he gets this question right, he will win a pair of tickets to check out the Spartans and the Louisville Cardinals tonight at the Brez. Chris, welcome to the show, my friend. How you doing?
Hey, Al. How's it going?
I'm doing fantastic. So, again, the trivia question is, what is Mark D'Antonio's career record against Kirk Ferentz, who's the head coach at Iowa? What is Mark D'Antonio's career record against Kirk Ferentz as the MSU head football coach? What is that answer, Chris?
I mean, he has 2 wins.
What is that?
2 wins.
What's the overall record? How many losses? 2 and what?
Two and two.
No, that is not right, Chris. That is not right. He said 2 and 2. I want to confirm that. That's wrong, right, Isaac?
Correct. Yeah, that's not the right answer. We do have James from Mount Pleasant as well, though, with a guest.
Okay, Chris, thanks a lot for the call, my man. Thanks a lot for the call. So who do we have next again, Isaac?
James from Mount Pleasant, I believe.
James from Mount Pleasant. James, how you doing, brother? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, man?
I'm doing good, homie. Do you got an answer for us?
You have an answer.
What's that?
I got an answer.
You got an answer. What is it?
Mark D'Antonio is 3-4 against Kirk Ferentz.
Is that right, Isaac?
I believe so, yes. D'Antonio with 3 wins against Ferentz, and Ferentz with 4 against D'Antonio.
That is correct. James, my man, you have just won tickets to check out the Spartans and Louisville Cardinals tonight at the Braz. Congratulations. Good stuff there. Good stuff, my man. Did you Google it? I got to know. Did you Google it? Did you know that off the top of your dome? What'd you do?
No, I looked it up a week ago when the game was set.
Nice. Good stuff, my man. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll be giving you a call after the show, okay, to find out how you can pick those tickets up, all right?
All right. Awesome. Thanks, man.
Thanks a lot, my man. All right. Well, there you have it. Again, trivia. Got to love it. Again, we make you earn them here on the show. Chris, so close, though. Chris was I feel bad for Chris, man. I feel bad for any caller who calls in and has a shot at winning tickets and comes just short. Don't you, Isaac?
Oh, yeah. You have to. I mean, no hurt. It doesn't hurt to try. But at the same time, when you feel like you're so close, you're the first caller. I mean, he was right on it when
Chris
you asked
was right
the question.
On it. He was. And much love to Chris, and thanks a lot for listening, Chris. But again, this isn't your only opportunity. Again, every single MSU men's and women's basketball home game, we'll be giving tickets away just like that in trivia form here on the show, okay? So congratulations to James. That was clutch. All right. Again, phone lines are open if you want to talk about anything here on the show. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Isaac, I want to start our show by talking about Naquan Jones, a four-star defensive tackle from Illinois who committed to the Spartans in June before reopening his recruiting on November 10th. Jones said he decommitted because he wanted to take his time choosing a school and in visiting others. Now, Jones announced last night on The Drive with Jack Ebling that he would be coming to MSU after all. He said after talking to the MSU coaches, he knew that MSU was where he wanted to be. And actually, you know, the reason why he reopened his recruitment, I'm reading an article here. This is from the Detroit Free Press. Joe Rexroth typed this up. He said that the decision to open things came after he told MSU coaches that he might have committed too early and wanted to take some visits to other schools. You know, Isaac, this isn't your typical recruiting story. And again, I'm gonna say it again because I always say it every time we talk about recruiting. I hate recruiting to the core and depths of my entire soul. But this isn't your typical decommitment story. He actually got advice from the MSU football staff that, hey, you may have committed too early to us. We want to make sure that you are comfortable with this decision. I think maybe you should take some other visits, you know, visit some other campuses to make sure that you certainly, without a doubt, want to be a Spartan. Normally, you know, you don't see a decommitment story like that. Maybe the kid comes to the school, and if he likes it, you know, he commits, and that's it. The coaching staff is saying, all right, we got him. You know, etch him down. We got him. You know, you never hear, and I'm sure it's happened before with other schools, but I'm sure that's a rarity for the coaching staff to say, all right, you committed to us, but don't you want to look around a little bit more? I think that speaks volumes to the sort of, you know, just the sort of staff, you know, more from a moral standpoint, the type of people that the MSU, you know, football coaching staff encompasses. They want to make sure that the kid is making this decision in the best interest of his heart. That I thought that was a pretty cool tidbit about that story, Isaac.
There's a lot of integrity that really is espoused in this story, like you said, because, I mean, in my opinion, recruiting is a little bit like winning bingo. Even if you think you have it, as soon as you say, bingo, you run away with the money and you take it and go. You don't.
From what standpoint? From a coaching standpoint?
Yeah, from a coaching standpoint. You don't wait for somebody to check it, see if you made a mistake. You just take that money and you run away. You know what I'm saying?
I like that analogy. I like
exactly. You put it on locks. I put a lot of work into that, by the way. But anyway,
so with that
recruiting, you don't hear it much when somebody is truly honest, very candid with the player saying, hey, you know, maybe we won't have the exact amount of opportunities that you'd like initially. There are other programs out there that might fit you better. Naquan Jones also, of course, considering Ole Miss, amongst mm-hmm. others. That would be a good school with him, but it's because Ole Miss has a great defense, and I can never pronounce his names, but Robert Nekmadish, or mm-hmm. however you say it, one of the best defensive tackles, defensive ends in the nation. He was the number one recruit a few years ago.
Right.
And, you know, maybe that's a better fit. So, but for the Spartans to acknowledge that and then say, listen, we'd love you here, but for them to actually give this kid the proper advice, it really does say a lot about the integrity of this coaching staff. And it goes a long way for other recruits as well, saying, hey, maybe they're not just pitching me what I want to hear. Maybe they're actually being real, and they think I could make a difference in this program.
Yeah, and, you know, Jones said that he fell in love with MSU after visiting for last season's 49-37 home loss to Ohio State. So even though the Spartans lost in that game, he really enjoyed himself and really enjoyed his time here at Spartan Stadium and on campus. So this is a big get as well. I mean, Daquan Jones, he's a four-star defensive tackle, and we all know how, of course, Shalik Calhoun being in his senior year, Shalik Calhoun. I don't know if you caught any of the video from yesterday's presser, Isaac, but there was a pretty cool moment because Shalik Calhoun is going to go to the NFL, and that's why I say this is a big get for MSU football, because they're going to try and, you know, they're going to need some guys to come in and step into that role of trying to fill that void of not having Shalik Calhoun a part of that line next season. And Daquan Jones, you know, being a four-star defensive tackle, he may be a guy who can come in and make an immediate impact. But, you know, Shalik Calhoun is such a – gosh, he's going to be a great player at the next level, I think, because we see him on film, and he's just so savvy with the way, you know, he pushes off the line. I think he's going to be a fantastic NFL player, but also his personality. And the reason why I asked you this, Isaac, if you caught any of the video from yesterday's press conference, after he gets done talking with the media, he sits down, eats his Chipotle, and then, because he's sitting down, and you know how that MSU football media room is. He sits in the MSU football media room chair with the other media members. He's eating his Chipotle, and then decides to have some fun, grab the mic, and ask. I believe it was Jack Conklin who was up on the podium along with Riley Bulla and Aaron Burbridge. He decides to ask Conklin a question, a media question. From the seats. I mean, his personality is so golden. I never forget when we had Shalik Calhoun on Current Sports TV. I got a chance to chat with him. The TV taping was about 30 minutes, but he was with me for about an hour, and we just sat back and kicked it. He could do his own TV show. Shalik Calhoun's personality. Everyone's going to fall in love with this kid when he gets to the next level, Isaac, if they haven't already have, you know?
Yeah, gregarious is the word or Vocabulary Wednesday that I'd like to whip out to describe Shalik Calhoun. He's just such a nice guy. He's so friendly. He knows how to handle himself in the media, in the spotlight. And that's something that you don't see from many college athletes. It's easy to present yourself well by giving standard. Well, it was all about my team. My blockers did a great job for me. Mm-hmm. Things like that, those standard prosaic answers. But Shalik gives you a lot of insight in his answers. He makes them funny, makes them entertaining. And like you said, on the football field, no slouch either. I think he'll be a star on the next level.
Definitely.
Needs to bulk up a little bit to play that 4-3 outside lineman spot.
I agree.
But at the same time, that's something that he can do easily. He's still a young kid. And he reminds me in some ways of a John Abraham, if you remember him. A guy who could bull rush you, but also just whip around you outside the tackle and get to the quarterback on the outside as well.
Yeah, he's going to be I do think he needs to bulk up as well, but he already has that off-the-line speed that's just, when you watch him play, your jaw, you know, hits the floor. He's going to be a fantastic player. But I'm looking forward to, you know, Daquan Jones, an MSU commitment right now. Again, it'll be something else, though. If he decommitted again, I'll be like, all right, come on now.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
This.
Well, we've seen this happen before, though.
Oh,
it's happened
course.
Before, but I'm glad that Daquan took his time and made sure that he for sure wanted to be a Spartan.
Folks, well, and the other thing about this decommitment, just for a second, is the fact that when you decommit, it doesn't mean you're renouncing the school. It doesn't mean you're totally giving up on them. I like this decommitment because it's literally something saying, listen, I made the decision too early. Let me just reconsider my options. So many times we see a decommitment mean a full pullout. Here it's just an honest reconsideration, and I'm totally cool with that. I think that's a smart move from the player and the MSU advisory staff.
Yeah, exactly. All right, before we hit our first break, again, 517-355-9527 is the number to call in and be a part of today's show. I have to bring up this story as well, very briefly. The University of Michigan is expected to ramp up its search for a permanent athletic director this week. Multiple people with knowledge of the situation told that to the press. Now, the permanent athletic director is not expected to be interim athletic director Jim Hackett. Now, Hackett, of course, has been the interim AD since October 31st, 2014, when he took over for Dave Brandon, who resigned under pressure from fans and donors. We all know about the Brady Hoke situation and how the football team just couldn't get it done on the football field. And there was just a lot of pressure on Dave Brandon. I even brought up a story. I remember my report for the last year's Michigan and Michigan State football game at Spartan Stadium. I was in because, you know, sometimes I don't like being in the press box all the time. And Isaac can testify to this. Sometimes I like just sitting in the media room and watching the game on television because you get all of this analysis and you can watch the game from different camera angles. And I just find it more informative than sometimes sitting in the press box and looking from that bird's eye view. But anyway, I do that from time to time. And I was watching the game. I happened to be in the media room watching the game on television. And it's just me at the time. Then all of a sudden, you know, in walks Dave Brandon, and he's by himself, and he just looks just so frustrated and flustered. And I'm watching the game. I'll never forget this. Dave Brandon, he comes up behind me, and he's watching. I don't even know if he noticed I was there. And I look back at him to see who it is, and then it dawns on me that it is Dave. And I'm like, oh, that's Dave Brandon, the athletic director for U of M. I want to introduce myself. So I introduce myself, said, hey, I'm Al Martin, a sports reporter here in Lansing for WKAR. And he introduced himself. Really nice guy. And I just asked him because he looked so frustrated and flustered. I just simply asked him, I mean, how you holding up, Dave? And he looked at me and said, Al, people can be so cruel sometimes. And you just kind of knew. I put that in my report, actually, when I reported from that game. And you can catch that on our YouTube channel for WKAR if you want to take a look at that report. But, you know, I just kind of knew then. When Dave said that, I knew that his days were probably numbered as the AD. So Jim Hackett comes in, and Hackett said that, you know, he doesn't want the job permanently. So a lot of people kind of saw this coming, that Hackett wasn't going to be the solidified individual to be the permanent AD for U of M. He said, quote, when I took this job, it was clearly as interim AD. He said that a month into his role. He has consistently reminded those inside and outside of the department that he is an interim AD, even signing the school's term sheet with Nike this summer by writing the word interim. So we saw this coming, but now the search is on. There is no timetable set for his departure. Hackett is working under an indefinite appointment of $600,000 per year. So not sure who's going to be on their list of probables, but the search is on for U of M. Call in if you want to weigh in on that one, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will give you a preview of tonight's MSU men's basketball game versus Louisville. Again, congratulations to James for winning those tickets here on the show. You get to hear from Tom Izzo from his press conference previewing that matchup. And also, we'll be inviting current sports beat writer, or I should say beat reporter, Laurel Young, as she profiles the MSU roller hockey team. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You know, Isaac, it is December 2nd, and of course, you know, and you watched my journey going through this whole thing all of November. I actually partook in No Shave November, raising awareness for cancer. And last night, I finally got a chance to you know, go in my bathroom and crack open the shaving cream and the razor and line myself up, but I have no beard. The beard is now gone. And a lot of people were, I posted on my Instagram, a lot of people were upset that I got rid of the beard, man. A lot of people love the beard, but now I'm just rocking my goatee like I always do.
I like the scruff. I thought it looked pretty good on you, but yeah. I've got to say, I was shaving this morning, just keeping it clean, and out for the first time ever. I'm really upset about it. I got two nicks on the same day.
Oh, no.
You know, it's like, it's not a new razor, but it's not an old one either. I use a straight razor. All right, do you use a straight or electric razor?
I use a straight. Both. Okay. See, I'm cheap. I'm very, anybody who knows me knows that I am dirt cheap. So I had a really expensive electric razor that I had gotten from my grandfather. It broke on me. You know what? I said to myself, I'm not about to go out and spend $80 on a new electric razor. So I decided to go the straight razor. And, you know, straight razors, you know, you can buy them, you know, for like $20, and then you got to replace them, though. So I might as well just go out and get an electric razor again. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But I use both. I use both.
Yeah, I use the disposable. But, you know, it just gets to this point where you'll know exactly when to throw them out. You want to be economical. You want to help the environment.
Exactly.
That's, of course, what I'm all about. And, you know, when you do that, I mean, you get a few cuts and bruises sometimes, but it's well worth it.
And, you know, I've cut up my face left and right trying to shave, man. But it feels good to have a clean face. And, of course, you know, being in the TV industry, too, they want you to keep it clean and cut. So that was probably the main reason why I decided to get rid of it. But it was great, you know, growing it out for No Shave November. I know the entire staff at WLNS TV6 also partook in it. And I knew of a few other organizations that did it as well. Of course, T.J. Duckett, he does it just about every year. I feel like T.J. Duckett, though, he has a no shave for the whole year, not even just for 1 month, not just November. He does it for the whole year to raise awareness. So, but hey, it's glad to be clean shade, folks. Again, and you know, before we move on, I also want to bring up this. We just gave away tickets to James, right?
Correct.
And I just realized that James is one of our avid listeners and has been for quite some time. He follows me on Instagram all the time at Mr. ESPN is his Twitter handle. And he just tweeted me.
That's a good one. Wait, how'd he get that?
I don't know.
Mr. ESPN.
Exactly.
He should sell that one off,
Yeah, he got really lucky with that one, right? But he listens all the time, and he's been a listener for the show as far as I can remember when I first got behind the mic here at WKAR, and he just tweeted me saying, big ups to my man Al Martin. So congratulations, James. Really appreciate your listenership. All right, folks, phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Michigan State. The MSU men's basketball team, they go at it against Louisville tonight. That's the game that we just gave tickets away to. And, of course, Michigan State is coming off the Wooden Legacy Championship out in California. Not sure if you guys over Thanksgiving break were following the team, but, man, what an outing it was. Denzel Valentine acquiring his second triple-double of the season, but they went on to win that championship game, and we want to give you guys a bit of a preview for that game as you listen to head coach Tom Izzo as he breaks down, you know, what took place out in Cali. But first, again, we heard Mark D'Antonio address this at the press conference yesterday, just how, you know, how vivid the MSU brand is right now with the football team going to a Big Ten championship game. The basketball team being ranked as number 3 in the entire nation. Pretty cool stuff. So here's MSU, here's Tom Izzo on the MSU football team, and just having the football team and basketball team in the spotlight like those two are right now.
It's infectious. You know, I always said I want to be around people that are very successful. I'm proud of it because I've been a big part of watching it when we weren't as good and when we did struggle and when we were a little bit more up and down. And I think Mark D'Antonio deserves a lot of credit too, because that consistency of that sport helps us all. But as I always say, if you keep knocking on the door, you know, someday that door's gonna open. And now we're to the point where, you know, let's keep knocking on the door and feed off each other, you know?
Yes, and they certainly are. Again, Michigan State, the MSU men's basketball team, they are coming off 3 straight wins out in California. They played Boston College, a game in which they just routed BC 99-68. In the second game of that Wooden Legacy tournament, they beat Boise State 77-67, and of course they finished things off on Sunday against Providence, a 77-64 win out there. And I mentioned that Denzel Valentine triple-double. He acquired that in game one of that tournament in which they beat Boston College. But what a remarkable run. Again, Michigan State starts off the year 7-0. They will take on Louisville tonight. And there's a clear possibility. I mean, if MSU beats Louisville, then they play Binghamton Saturday, and then they play Maryland Eastern Shore, they'll be highly favored against both of those teams after Louisville. Then they play Florida, Northeastern, Oakland. I mean, Michigan State realistically could go. They could push this winning streak to double digits easily, without a doubt. So, but here's Tom Izzo concerning, you know, what this team was able to do at the Wooden Legacy, winning that championship and how that propels this team moving forward?
Well, you know, we went to California trying to win a championship, and I think I don't want to overstate it, but I don't want to understate it, because I think you have to learn how to win them, and even though that's a smaller one than maybe the ones in front, mission was accomplished because we won it and we struggled. I think we went about it a little bit more as a workman's day's job, and that's not good enough. So we accomplished our goal, but we still got a long, long ways to go. And we had to win a game without our star being at his best, and yet Denzel was pretty good. My biggest concern is, what do I do with our guys after getting in at 6:30 this morning? I would think, with the excitement of having a big game at home, our crowd there, hopefully our football guys there, I would think that momentum builds this week, and instead of taking it for granted, we really jump on things, because we've been waiting a lot of years. It seems like we do not have these big home games for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, and how about this non-conference schedule? I always say that the mastermind that is Tom Izzo, when it comes to, of course, getting his team ready for the March push, having a solid and challenging non-conference schedule is something that Izzo always embraces. He likes having that early competition to see where those chinks in the armor are, what, you know, looking at those teams. When you play a team like Kansas, I mean, you get to evaluate it and see where you need to improve upon if you want to compete on that level. We saw how they beat Kansas during the fourth game of the season, 79-73, in the Champions Classic out in Chicago. So the non-conference schedule is something that Tom Izzo certainly embraces because it aids in his team getting better. Here is Izzo on that.
Even though I didn't like the way Denzel struggled, thought it was a good learning lesson. I don't say that humbly. I say that, our non-conference schedule, I think, is going to be the best it's been for different styles, different types of teams, and good teams. I think these will be good experiences for them, and I think it really benefit them. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And right now, this will be a good test for us. How are we going to handle a little success? Are we going to keep working? How are we going to deal with a little failure? All those things are still down the road that I'm trying to keep a handle on.
Yes, and how about Denzel Valentine? Of course, as I keep mentioning, I mean, two triple-doubles already, and we're only seven games into the season. Pretty unbelievable stuff. Remarkable what Denzel Valentine is doing. And again, you look at how it's so early in the season. I mean, he's just going to keep getting better as the season moves on. And that's the scary part if you're an opponent of Michigan State on any given night or any given afternoon. So Tom also talked about what Denzel Valentine did being named as the tournament MVP at the Wooden Legacy Championship.
Even though I didn't like the way Denzel struggled, thought it was a good learning lesson that you're going to get guarded differently now. You want a name, and I'm not saying he does, but you got a name. You've played at a high level. You've done some extraordinary things here in a couple days, and good teams are going to adjust to you, just like we would adjust to good teams. But I give Denzel a lot of credit. He has truly taken over this team with his leadership and maybe more important, his will to win. I mean, winning is important to this kid. Tradition is important to this kid, you know. It's been fun to watch. It's the great part about seeing a kid grow right in front of your eyes.
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting to see as the year moves on. Again, Denzel Valentine is playing so good early on, and you heard at the very beginning of that bite, you know, Denzel Valentine did struggle against Providence because Providence, I mean, they were going back and forth with Michigan State throughout much of that game. Valentine shot 5 of 14, 2 of 7 from the three-point line, and finished with 17 points, 5 assists, and I'm trying to see here, 6 rebounds overall. And, You know, he struggled in that game, and they came with a different game plan compared to the other two opponents in that tournament. And Denzel saw some double teams here and there. They guarded him, you know, from the 3-point line, extended whenever he was bringing up the ball, and they pressured him a bit. So when you put up numbers like Denzel has, so early in the season, the scouting becomes better, and you have to adjust to how teams will defend you moving forward because you now have a spotlight on you. Teams know that you are a threat, and teams are going to come at you. So, hey, as the season moves on, it's going to be fun to watch and see how, you know, and see whether or not Denzel can adjust to that. And it starts tonight. Again, Michigan State, Louisville. It's going to be a fun game. Again, keep it locked to WKAR.org for our coverage tonight of that game. I will be in attendance at the Brez. Also, we will bring you coverage of that game on tomorrow's Current Sports. Before we hit our second break and bring on Laurel Young, Current Sports beat reporter, I want to get to line one right now. We do have a caller. It's our good, dear friend, Ray from Indiana. Ray, welcome to the show. How you doing?
How you doing, guys?
Doing good, my man.
Hey, I'm glad you guys clean shaved. I like clean cut kids. I don't want you to be no like no bullies down there in Ann Arbor slime boxes. You know, you need to keep clean.
Swine boxes. I've never heard of that one. That's
my new favorite word.
I've never heard of that term,
hey,
Ray, but okay.
The bullies won last night in basketball. John Beilein going to get another 5-year extension? He should get the chocolates out. He got a victory. Why don't he play some tough people so he can get beat?
Well, it's the Big Ten ACC Challenge, and
it was a
solid game for him last night. Now, Derek Walton Jr., did leave the game early. I caught a bit of that game as well last night. He did leave the game early with that sprained ankle. But an overall good performance from this team, Ray. And I think moving forward, Michigan is going to be a solid squad, and they will compete this season.
Yeah, about once in a while, the bullies, you got to give them credit. They did play decent.
They look good. They played decent last night.
Wait till you guys play them. You're a real team. Oh. Put a whipping on them, okay? Anyways, are you guys ready for the big game Saturday?
Yes, we are. We'll be running in a best of show on Friday. I will be in Indy providing coverage all weekend for WKAR.org. D'Antonio speaks at 3 p.m. on Friday, and then they are allowing cameras and the press to attend the first 15 minutes of practice from 4:30 to 4:45. So keep it locked. Do you own a laptop, Ray?
I want you guys to win the national title. Then you can put the video on of that last play of the game over and over for them all year.
Yeah.
That'll be good for the bullies. I tell you, you got to get your running game going.
Yeah, that's a key. Yeah.
Against Ohio State. You can't be a one-dimensional against Iowa or any of the other teams you're going to play from now on.
It's going to be a fun matchup, Ray. And again, Ray, do you own a laptop or a smartphone?
No, I'm a Stone Age guy, my friend. I don't even have a cell phone. I got a tape machine on my phone, and I jog and work out. I don't do a whole lot. I'm 66 now. You know, it's harder and harder, but I keep fighting. I do my 5 miles every day, do 3/4 mile backwards, 190 push-ups every day.
Wow.
I give God all the glory. Not all at once, 75-80. I can only do 75-80, but I'd like to see the bullies do that down there.
All right. Well, I was going to say, Ray, you can go to WKAR.org to catch our coverage from this weekend. But, hey, I know you'll be watching in spirit, okay?
Go Spartans.
There we go. The one and the only Ray from Indiana. Got to love that. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Laurel Young, Current Sports beat reporter, as she highlights the MSU roller hockey team. You don't want to miss that and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, I'll tell you what. I really can't believe that as far as the students who go to Michigan State are concerned, I can't believe that the semester for them, the fall semester, is about to be in the books. Can you believe that? It is December, and around this time, you know, I remember being a student. Finals are right around the corner. You know, I remember staying at the library and pulling all-nighters as I tried to keep my GPA up. Fun times. But I will say that, you know, looking at studying for finals and everything, that is the time of college that I don't miss. I will say that, Isaac, you should be preparing for finals as well. Isaac is still a student here at Michigan State University. He is a sophomore. And each and every semester, though, we work with the Journalism 418 class, which deals with sports reporting. And they work right out of the current sports radio and television hub. And they provide content and stories, new and different stories that you won't normally see in your average newspaper or sports broadcast. And they have done an unbelievable job all semester. And we actually have one of them in studio right now. Her name is Laurel Young. And she's been doing a great job of covering MSU roller hockey. Laurel, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, I got to ask, what made you want to cover the roller hockey team? Why did you choose that beat?
Well, I like hockey in general. Couldn't do the actual hockey team. They're too big for us. and I realized we had a roller hockey team, which is a little bit different, but still kind of very similar to actual hockey. So I thought that would be fun.
Very cool stuff. Now, I want to play a feature of yours in which you highlighted a player on the squad. He's actually a goalie for the team who's had quite the journey. You know, looking at his time overall, how quite the journey to end up here at Michigan State. Can you tell us who this individual is?
Yeah, so Noboru Ogita. He's originally from Japan. He's one of the goalies on the team, like you said, on the Division I team. Because of his dad's job, his team or his family has traveled all around the world, lived all around the world, and now he's at Michigan State. So I thought that would be a good story.
Very cool stuff. Yeah, to highlight just his journey, you know, because I believe his parents are still, in Switzerland?
Yep, they're living in Switzerland.
So he went from Japan to Switzerland to Michigan State.
In North Carolina.
So Japan, Switzerland, North Carolina, then Michigan State.
Yeah.
How long did he live in North Carolina?
I'm not sure. I think when he was in around middle school, he was there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how long, though.
Now, a brief synopsis of the team before I play your snippet here from that interview. How good is this the MSU roller hockey team, and where are they right now concerning their season?
They're very good. They have a season similar to regular hockey, so about October through April-ish. They take the month off for Christmas break. But the Division I is really good. I think they're undefeated right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more high scoring than regular hockey. They'll win their games like 12-4. Stuff like that, but yeah.
Great. All right, let's play this snippet from Laurel's sit down with Noboru Ogita, again, who's born in Japan and now is a Spartan, a goalie for the MSU roller hockey team.
So tell me a little bit about growing up in Japan.
Well, I only lived there for 3 years. I kind of live all kinds of places. So I lived in England, I lived in Switzerland, in Japan, and then I lived in North Carolina before. So I kind of had a lot of mixed backgrounds. So, I mean, just the fact that I know a lot of people from different cultures, I think I could bring a lot of openness to other people, as well as a lot of insight.
Is it hard being away from your family for so long?
Sometimes, you know, when you need your parents sometimes just to talk to them, you know, if you're trying to figure out if you're not doing well in school or, you know, just don't, you know, in the mood or doing something, you know, but they're not there, but I could always call them. But I started playing roller hockey when I lived in North Carolina, so that's when I was about 11 or so. And then after that, I moved to Switzerland and I played juniors there in Switzerland. And then came here and started playing roller hockey, so. I had a lot of other schools that had options, but MSU was the first one that I accepted to it. And that just helped me boost my confidence and all that. So just sort of became first choice for me.
What's the best part of being on the team?
Definitely the traveling. Also, that could be a bad thing as well, but you know, hanging out with the boys, doing all kinds of stuff where you can't really do with your other friends in school.
What's been your favorite memory on the team?
I have to say, Nationals last year was a lot of fun, even though we only made it to the Elite Eight. we should have done better, but it was a lot of fun there. Surprisingly, Switzerland, it's a big hockey culture there as well as soccer in there, but hockey is supposed to be their national sport, so hockey was really accessible there. Japan, obviously, baseball is the biggest one. And then when I used to live in North Carolina, I mean, U.S. has always been all kinds of sports, so I've had a lot of exposure to a lot of sports.
Has your family always been a big sports family?
I wouldn't say big sports family, but my dad was a big track star when he was in high school, so he was involved in sports, and you know, throughout my time, he always helped me out, even though he didn't have any idea about hockey or anything like that, but yeah.
Again, that's Laurel Young, current sports beat reporter, as she sat down with Noboru Ogita, who is a MSU roller hockey goalie, who, again, was born in Japan. His family moved to Switzerland. He moved to North Carolina, and then he's now a Spartan here at Michigan State University playing with the team. Laurel, again, we'll be posting this on WKR.org. And what was the most fascinating part of sitting down with Noboru?
I think just kind of his journey to Michigan State, how he ended up here, and then how he kind of came back to roller hockey after playing regular hockey in Switzerland.
Cool stuff. Yeah, and we actually highlighted that on Current Sports TV last week, and we'll be putting that raw interview you just heard on our website. And Laurel, I also understand you write for iSports Web.
I do.
And you will be out in Indy covering the big Michigan State and Iowa game as well, right?
Yes, very excited for
it. How can people read your work when you post it?
It's on iSportsWeb.com.
Great, great stuff. She is a busy woman, and she does one fantastic job here on the show. Laurel, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, well, wow. Oh, my. 3 minutes left in the show? Are you kidding me?
I know.
Oh, boy, I wanted to dive into a little Barbershop Wednesday. Couldn't do that. Again, we were going to talk about the Reggie Jackson story, and, you know, he was caught on camera saying things he shouldn't have said to a certain fan after a fan was giving him a tough time as he played his former team, the Oklahoma City Thunder, this past weekend. We will table that for tomorrow. But I believe a caller called in, right, Isaac?
Oh, yeah, who correct.
What did they have a beef with? They had a beef?
So I thought, so they said that you said, this is going to be very circuitous, but they said that you said that Rocky, I don't remember the exact context. Like I said, I'm not a big Rocky fan, but that Rocky.
Which is crazy, but go ahead, proceed.
It's just, okay, we'll table
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
But Rocky, they said that you said that Rocky 3 had Apollo Creed in it, and they said that was actually Apollo or Rocky 4. So well, they took issue with that, and here's your chance to respond, my friend.
That individual, whoever it is totally wrong. I know my Rockies. If you look up Rocky 3, Apollo Creed is in that movie. He actually trained Rocky in Rocky 3, but the question came from Kurt from Grand Ledge, and he wanted to know which Rocky was Mr. T in. So if you go back and listen to that interview, or listen to that call from Kirk, he wants to know which Rocky was Mr. T in. He played Clubber Lang. That was in Rocky 3, which Apollo Creed was also in because he trained Rocky in that movie. And then in Rocky 4, Apollo Creed, spoiler alert, dies, fighting for charity. Remember the James Brown scene? He dies in that film, and then Rocky goes into this deep depression, and he ends up fighting the Russian who killed Apollo Creed.
Okay, Al, listen to this plot line, though. These are not great movies. Come
oh,
on,
stop
after Rocky
it. You
won.
Did not. I will
oh,
not allow
now.
That blasphemy on our airwaves. We are out of time, okay? And we will see you back here, same time, same place tomorrow. Much thanks to Laurel Young. Also, our callers today, we had Ray, we had James, Chris, and all of our listeners out there. Thanks for listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have one fantastic afternoon, and be easy, people.